With all that being said, I want to introduce you today a friend of mine that I've known via Facebook for maybe like 5 years or so. And Danny Looney was serving at a church in Central Oregon with his wife, Alicia. And I saw that they were just doing amazing things in Bend. And I was like, how can we learn from some of the things that you're doing? And so we brought some of our team over to their church, learned from them, continued to grow that relationship. And Danny is just an amazing guy with an amazing testimony. And he's here to encourage us today as we head into 2020. So could you guys give a hand to Danny as he comes to share? Totally dissed me. I was trying to shake your hand, but I'll give you a hug instead.
All right. Don't have to get cocky, bro. It's all good. All right. I always like to be awkward right at the beginning and get that all out of the way. So just watch me as I adjust things and get prepared. What is up, Fellowship Church? Make some noise. Come on. I want to hear some noise out there. And all of you that have come to just hang out and hear about Rock Bottom Hope, man, I'm telling you, God is so faithful. Are you guys ready for 2020? All right, some of you must have had a hard 2019, because some of you are like, oh, you know, if 2020 is anything like 19, we've got a serious problem, right? Well, I'm telling you this, we can decide right now in this building that 2020 doesn't have to be anything like 2019. Right? We can take it to the very next level. Why? Because we serve a God who is faithful to meet us where we're at and is faithful to do the increase in our lives. Amen? He works on our behalf and he loves us so, so much. I want to thank Pastor Anthony for having us. I'm excited for what God is going to do. And I was, as I was preparing for this message, you know, I was thinking, man, what am I going to call this? And the Lord just, I know it's weird because it's not Easter, but he just laid this title on my heart, and it was called Eggs in a Basket. I know, okay. Yeah, that was the exact response I thought I was going to get. And in parentheses, I put going all in. Going all in. You guys may have heard of the old proverb, don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? What does that mean? That proverb was actually created by the Spanish or Italians, and what it meant was that when they would be like gathering the eggs, they would say, okay, don't put all your eggs in one basket, because if you drop the basket, all of your eggs are going to be ruined, right? All of them. So they're like, you know, use separate baskets, because that's being more wise. But I want us to think today about what God says when he's challenging us to be obedient, when he's challenging us to step out, to take risks. You know, it's only risky to us. When God asks you to do it, he takes the risk out of it because he's in it. He's going to see it to fruition, and whatever happens, he's going to be working on our behalf to take us to the next level in our relationship with him. So it's a good idea when it comes to actual eggs, but when God is working with us and he's got this plan for our lives, he's saying, hey, listen, I want you to put all your eggs in my basket. I want you to trust me, because my plan for you is way better than your plan for you. Right? We serve a God who already has done the ultimate sacrifice, and everything else is just above and beyond. What I always say to people is, man, if the only thing that God ever did was send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me, that is enough. It's enough. I don't need anything else. And so everything above that, all the good stuff, all the blessings, all the stuff that he pours out in our lives, and the fact that he wants a personal relationship with me, with you, that's above and beyond the sacrifice that was already given. So I'll tell you a little bit about our launch story, because my wife and I, we kind of put all our eggs in one basket, and I haven't even talked to Pastor Anthony about this, but he messaged me. I was serving as campus pastor of a multi-site church, and I'd been there for about 8 years, a little over 8 years, and he messaged me when I launched Rock Bottom Hope, and said, hey, I'd love for you to come share at our church. What do you think about Rock Bottom Hope? And it was so interesting, because he could have said, hey, I want you to come speak as a part of Mission Church and just share. But the reality was that even in that moment, God had been working in our lives, and we knew that we were going to be resigning that position and doing Rock Bottom Hope full time. We knew that we were going to be putting all our eggs, and I thought it was so interesting because it was like almost a prophetic thing that happened. Hey, I know you're a campus pastor at Mission Church, but I want you to come share as a part of Rock Bottom Hope. And for me, it was just one another way of God just saying, okay, put your eggs in one basket. Put your eggs in one basket, right? And we ended up resigning our position. September 15th was when they announced it, and it was an amazing send-off. We've raised our kids in that church, and we were very, very integrated. I mean, that was our family. But the Lord was saying, put your eggs in one basket. How many of you know that when God gives you plan A, you don't need plan B or plan C, right? I think that a lot of times out of our fear and out of our worry of what is to come, we want to come up with plan B and plan C. And let me tell you, I had plenty of plan Bs, plan C. I had plan Z. I was telling my wife, well, babe, I could do this. And she's like, sweetie, God is going to provide. He will make sure we're okay. Because see, what I was doing was I was going from $56,000 a year to $0,000 a year, and I've got a family of six. I've got four kids, Chase, Cash, Cruz, and Chloe, all C's, and they are 12, 7, 3, and 1. And I have an amazing wife. Thankfully, give her a hand. She puts up with all my shenanigans. But she is not as high maintenance as I am. So I wasn't as worried about how I was going to care for her. I was more worried about how I was going to care for me. I was like, babe, I don't think your salary is going to take, you know, like, how much shopping am I going to be able to do, babe? I'm going to have to get, like, several other jobs. I got to keep up with Anthony's pants. Come on. I'm going to buy those pants today. Rue 21, 2 for $20. But listen, she said, babe, the Lord is going to provide, right? And I was like, okay. And again, the Lord's just nudging me, put your eggs in one basket, put them in my basket, go with plan A, go with plan God, because God's plan is so much bigger than anything else. And the Lord had put Rock Bottom Hope on our heart several years earlier when we were talking about a book that I'm going to be writing. It's an autobiography. And I was talking to my wife, and again, you know, she's the brains of the family, because I'm like, well, I'd like for it to be something about Rock Bottom, and I'd like it to have something about hope. And she's like, well, what about Rock Bottom Hope? And I'm like, that's it. Little did I know that Rock Bottom Hope would not just be a book, but it would be our life. It would be our ministry. It would be the thing that the catalyst in our life to take our faith, our hope, our joy, our peace, our patience, and our long suffering to the next level, right? So we did it, and God provided 4 days before they announced my resignation. 4 days before they announced my resignation, my wife's boss called her in, and she said, Alicia, I don't want to do this all anymore. I'd like to only do half of the work. I'd like to bring you on. She's like, you can pick your hours. You can still be flexible, because we love our flexible schedules with a big family. You know, we like to be able to hang out and raise our children, all of that. So Alicia said, well, what would that look like? And she goes, well, I don't really care what it looks like, but I'm going to raise your salary from $18,000 a year to $50,000 a year. And I was like, praise you, Jesus, I can still go shopping. Praise you, Jesus. But seriously, here's the deal. The Lord will always provide when you put your faith and your trust in Him and Him alone. And how many of you are ready for 2020 to put your faith and your trust in Him alone, knowing that what He has for you in 2020 is better and bigger than anything He's had for you before? Yes, that's what I like to hear. So we launched Rock Bottom Hope, and we're still in the pre-launch phases. You know, we haven't even fully launched. We're just trying to brand ourselves and get the brand out so that people recognize it. And we have not even launched in our own city. And I've had 3 different states come to me and say, we want to launch Rock Bottom Hope in our state right now. And I'm like, that's awesome. It's not going to happen, but that's awesome. Let's wait until we launch in our city, and then we'll go from there. We've got Washington, California, and Texas. All three of those places have approached me and said, hey, we're ready. We need it. They're texting me every day. Let's do this thing. So we're going to start training our Hope coaches in January. The official launch is May 30th. And our Hope coaches, Rock Bottom Hope is relational. It's all based on relationships. And our Hope coaches are connected with people who have been at Rock Bottom or been affected by Rock Bottom. Does everybody here understand what Rock Bottom is? Everybody understand it's when you hit the lowest of the low. There's nowhere else to go but up. And all of a sudden, God meets you in that place and he shows himself faithful. And he gives you the hope of Jesus when you least expect it. Amen? So our Hope coaches, they're going to be trained to introduce people, to build relationships and introduce people to the hope of Jesus. And we've already got, just in our city alone, we've got 12 people that have signed up to be Hope coaches. We have other states that are going to be joining us for those so that they can launch Rock Bottom Hope in their state. We are a 501c3 organization. Let me tell you about becoming a 501c3. That's a God story. I talk to pastors who are still waiting on their 501c3 for their churches, 2 years into it, still waiting for their 501c3. We applied for our 501c3, and 2.5 weeks later, I was approved, 100%. Got a letter in the mail from the IRS. Yeah, that's right. It only took them 2.5 weeks, so you know they can do it. They just choose not to. But today, we're going to be looking at the conversion of Saul to Paul, and that's in Acts 1 through 19. Does everybody love their Bible? Do you love your Bible? Your Bible is alive and active, right? It changes the very core of who we are. Scripture changes the core of our being. And you can follow along in your YouVersion Bible app. For those of you joining online, the scriptures are on the screen for you, and they're on the screen here. If you got a paper Bible, that's amazing. You know, nothing smells as good as a paper Bible. I'm just saying. They should make like scratch and sniff that you can stick on your phone. That'd be sweet. All right, so we're going into Acts 1. Wow, I just put the verses on here. Can somebody give me the chapter? Thank you, Anthony. Acts chapter 9, 1 through 19. All right. So we're going to be looking at 4 points when it comes to putting our eggs in one basket or going all in. Say, going all in. Now say, going all in for 2020. Now say, I'm going all in for 2020. All right, let's do this. In verse 1, it says, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, let me tell you about Saul for a minute, all right? We'll do a little background on him. Saul hated Christians, and he honestly thought to himself that he was killing them, slaughtering them, men, women, and children, in the name of God, the one true God. He thought he was protecting an old religion. He thought that he was protecting the people in Jerusalem by killing these Christians, because he thought, man, these Christians are nuts, and they're psycho, and I've got to make sure that we protect ourselves from them, right? He really believed that. But this is what Paul did when he said, listen, he said, he fell to the ground in verse 4 and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Man, right then and there, guess what Saul did? He began to pay attention. Say it with me. Pay attention. When we're challenged by God, when he begins to speak through his word, or sometimes audibly, I'll tell you, there's one point where I can remember, I can still hear the voice of God. And it was when I had met my wife, and 5 days later, we went on a date. Well, we didn't go on a date. It was not a date, sorry. 5 days later, we met at a birthday party. You know, I call it a date, whatever. We both got there early, so it felt like a date. But I had known her for 5 days. I'd seen her the Sunday before, and then we were at this bowling alley, and we were talking, and I'm like, man, this woman is amazing. Unfortunately, I'd already shared my entire testimony the week before, so I thought, I don't have a chance. I shared way too much, so it doesn't really matter. But that night, as I was getting ready for bed, audibly, so audibly that I looked out the window, the Lord said, this is the woman you're going to marry. The next day, I called my dad that morning, and I said, Dad, I found the woman I'm going to marry. He goes, well, how long have you known her? You haven't even talked about anybody. I said, I've known her for about 5 days. He goes, Danny, are you getting high again? I said, Dad, I'm serious. This is the woman I'm going to marry. He goes, well, you need to pray about it. And I said, I'll pray about it, but I don't need to, because God told me. I heard him, and I paid attention. Now, he did not tell my wife that. He used me to tell her that. Sometimes God used people, and she paid attention. Good job, baby. Proverbs 4:20 says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. It's a command from God. My dad used to say, when you open the word of God, you are looking into his very mouth. You are looking into his mouth. A shout out to my dad. He's here. My mom and my dad, they live in Canby. So give him a hand. Amazing man of God and powerful preacher. My child, pay attention to what I say. See, I want you to hear this today. One moment of clarity with God will change your whole life. One moment of clarity with God. Now listen, I say that because I've lived it. I'm not just making fluff up. I'm telling you, I never thought in a million years that someone like Alicia would ever give someone like me a second thought. I was a former drug addict. I'd had about a year and a half clean. I'd just gotten a car. I was just starting to build my life. I made like $300 a month as a live-in staff at Teen Challenge. Not to mention the fact that, I mean, she's just way out of my league, which is why I have to shop so much. But the fact of the matter is that when I heard God, I believed him. I trusted him. So it didn't matter what my natural inclination was. What mattered is what God said. And what God says is true, it is real, it is yes and amen. Can I get an amen? One moment of clarity with God will change your whole life. So we pay attention. Let's go on to verse 5. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. So it said, so his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. Let's go up to verse 8. On the second half, it said, so his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. So we need to pay attention, and we need to be willing to be led. Say, be led. Be led. See, God's desire is to lead you to places you've never gone, into adventures you've never experienced. He wants you to close your eyes and let the eyes of your heart be open to being led into his goodness, being led by his Holy Spirit and godly men and women that he places in your life. I'm telling you that when you go all in with God, when you allow yourself to be challenged by God, you've got to be in a place where you are willing to be led. In my own life, it was a challenge because, you know, if there's any addicts in here or former addicts in here, we're a selfish bunch. We don't like to be led. We like to do whatever we want and say whatever we want and just please ourselves, right? I think that's pretty much all humanity. That's the natural inclination, right? We want to lead ourselves. That's why there's so many self-help books out here, because it's like, oh, don't worry. You don't need anybody else. You can help yourself. You can please yourself. You can do this all by yourself when God is challenging us and he's saying, no, but listen, if you just allow yourself to be led, you're going to have so much more freedom. Did you know there's actually freedom in boundaries? That when you have boundaries and accountability in your life, that the spiritual freedom you have far outweighs any sort of natural freedom you could ever experience. Because when your freedom is in Christ Jesus, that's true freedom. When you are willing to be accountable to somebody, when you are willing to be led, that is true freedom. So we pay attention. And we're willing to be led. Verse 11. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. So he's talking to Ananias here. He is praying to me right now. He is praying. Say, he is praying. He's praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So we pay attention, we're willing to be led, and we start talking. We start talking. See that in verse 11, the last part of verse 11? He is praying to me right now. We've got to be willing to start opening our mouths and having a conversation with God, right? When he begins to move on our hearts to put all of our eggs in one basket, to go all in. See, prayer is simply a conversation with the Most High. Say that with me. Prayer is simply a conversation with the Most High. Secondly, God wants to hear the cry of his people. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Man, I'm telling you, when I was in jail, when I would go to jail, I was in and out of jail, right? And I kid you not, and some of you may know what I'm talking about. The first thing I did every time I went to jail was pray. Man, I had some good conversations with God. I would start talking to him, and I'd be like, Lord Jesus, get me out of here. Come on. Because I always got put in solitary. I don't know why.
We won't talk about why.
But I would just be like, Lord God, please, and just desperately crying out to him and calling out, saying, please help me. Just meet me in this place. Meet me right now, this pain, this suffering. I will tell you this. Even in my desperation, God wanted to hear from me. God wanted me to start talking. Because even in those moments, he would meet me. I want you guys to remember this today. Don't allow the chaos or disorder around your life keep you from talking to God. I have met with so many couples for marriage counseling, and every single time their marriage starts going completely off kilter, right? Every time it just starts going down the tube, every single time, I ask this question, are you praying? And every single time the answer is no. And I say, well, you start talking to God, And in a couple weeks, I want to hear back from you. Because I'm telling you, when you start having conversations with the Most High, it changes everything around you. It changes your relationships. It changes your community. It changes your perspective. And as Christ followers, as believers, it's so easy, and I believe it especially in America, to allow the chaos, the disorder, the confusion to get in between our conversations with God, right? It's so easy to just say, well, whatever, I don't have time. But I'm telling you, you always have time to talk to God. If you spend time in your car, talk to him. If you spend time at your work and there's nobody around, talk to him out loud. If there's people around, you can talk to him out loud.